Record. Okay, we're recording.
Are we live? Are we doing this live?
No, I don't think so. Oh, okay. We can do it live if you want.
Well,
I don't think. I don't think we can do it live because I haven't got it set up on the new server.
Right. Did you get our last show posted? Yeah, Sirius 2 number 1.
Yeah.
God, that was back in the 12th of March. No, we did one in April.
Did we?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I've got audio recording too here. Command I. When is that recorded? Created. Yeah, 12th of April. So I obviously forgot about that and didn't edit it. Well, we can do it. We can keep, you know. It doesn't officially exist.
Might as well skip it.
Yeah. But we'll still call this episode 2 because otherwise we get in a mess.
Right. Fred got in one episode number kerfluffle.
Yeah.
Number 13/14.
Yeah. Well, there were ones before that where we skipped numbers.
Right. What's new? What's exciting?
Well, everything. WWDC, Apple's, I don't quite get how the logic in starting it this early, but their back to school promotion started today.
Mm-hmm.
£65 to spend on the Mac App Store when you buy a new Mac.
Yeah. What is that, like $1,000 US or something?
Yeah, British pound sterling, 65. Oops. Wait, it converts directly to $105. But I'm not sure how much they actually give you. I'll have a look on
it's
the
probably US. Just 100 bucks.
I'll have a look on the actual US Apple store.
I bet it's 100 bucks.
Place your bets.
But I was close.
Yes, $100.
Yeah, I was close. Well, so you buy a new Mac and then you get $100 or £65 to spend in the App Store
in the Mac App Store. Right. I'm not quite sure how they do that. If it's like a voucher, like an iTunes voucher, where you can only spend the money in the Mac App Store,
right?
Or maybe they just say it's to spend in the Mac App Store, but it's actually just an iTunes voucher that you can spend on anything.
Well, they probably give you the code, and you got to type in the code, and then the store knows that you've got it.
Yeah. It's like they sell gift vouchers, and they've got App Store written on them, but you can buy music with them and films and stuff.
Right. Every once in a while, I get an email from Apple saying that I've got credits in the store, but then when I actually check the iTunes store, I don't have any credits.
Yeah, I get weird things where it'll say in the iTunes toolbar that I've got, you know, X amount of money in credit, but then I go onto the account and then there's nothing, and it still says £15 in credit in the or whatever.
It's a tease. It's teasing.
It is.
You don't like it. So, but they're starting the back to school stuff in June, which I guess, you know, if you're going to college, you are thinking about what school you're going to and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like at our place, we've already had our first incoming freshman class show up and get registered and, know what classes they're taking and that kind of thing. So they're probably buying microwaves and futons and Macintosh computers.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I'd be pissed if I bought mine yesterday.
Oh, yeah?
You know, if I bought a Mac yesterday and it turned out that if I've done it today,
I've
got all this great Mac software.
Oh, yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. And sometimes they'll have a grace period where if you bought it in the last week or whatever, they'll count you good. But
yeah.
But then, if you bought it 8 days ago, you're really pissed.
Yeah. I think actually, if the new Mac comes out within 28 days after you buy the old model of that Mac, then I think they do have, they do restock. They'll restock you for free and give you a new one.
Right. Which is nice.
Yeah.
I guess. So yeah, we got that going on. We got a total change in the way our data is going to sync to our iPhones.
Well, only if you want it to be. You can still connect with a wire.
That's what I wondered. Because I always think about, you know, when Apple comes out with things like MobileMe and iCloud and things like that, it's always to solve some sort of problem.
Yeah.
So if you're a person on the go and you want stuff to sync over the cloud, then this is the way to do it.
Yeah.
But what if your system isn't broken?
Yeah. What one thing I'm concerned about before I signed up is it like all or nothing sync?
Mm-hmm.
Like, do I have to sync everything, or can I sync, you know, this stuff over the wire and keep this stuff in iCloud? Because I don't want everything in iCloud.
Right.
I don't want everything anywhere.
Like with MobileMe, it was, you know, either you sync over the cloud everything or you plug in and sync that way.
Mm.
It was kind of all or nothing.
Yeah.
And that's what I didn't like about it, because I liked plugging my iPhone into my Mac every night as a way to charge it and sync it.
Yeah.
That's my system, and it's not broken. So I, you know, what do I need to change for?
Mm.
I don't know. But the music stuff is pretty cool. I am pretty excited about
everything. Well, you can be excited about it. We, you know, our stupid Performing Rights Society haven't even agreed with Apple that they're going to do the iTunes Cloud Match service thing yet.
Right. And that's just for the music part, right? That's the only thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what? Let us sign the deal and let us give you money.
How do you feel about that, David? Yeah, I feel bad for you. Even our neighbors to the north in Canada, you know, I mean, we're so close and we're so,
although,
I mean, we're not
last,
similar. But.
Yeah, last year they did say initially that the iBook store would only be launched in the US. But by the time the iPad came out in the UK, they'd got the deals sorted and the iBook store was available here.
Right. So maybe they're working on it right now.
Yeah.
Because you got to think by now that a great number of Apple business comes outside of the U.S.
Yeah.
So when you release a new something, you want that new something to be as available for, you know, as many people as possible.
Yeah,
so there's that. There's, what else? The Lion stuff, which I'm not too excited about.
Elaborate on that then. What do you find non-interesting about it?
Well, there was just no wow. There was, you know, when.
Well,
when
it was went, we hadn't been told before.
Right, and a lot of it just seemed like user interface stuff, like Grand Central and
Grand Central. You mean Mission Control?
Or Mission Control, right?
See, Grand Central. I think you're thinking of Grand Central Dispatch.
Right,
which was in 10.6, the concurrency thing.
Right. And I was actually more excited about that than I was this Mission Control stuff.
Well, I don't think...
I don't need a new way to interface with my Windows, you know? And I don't know if it's aimed at new folks who come to the Mac, or it just seems like another Windows interface system that's tacked on top of everything else.
Mm.
I don't know. And then
some of,
you know,
the stuff inside,
people like you and I have built up ways to deal with this kind of stuff. You know, we have our work closed down or whatever.
Yeah. Some of the stuff inside the OS is looking cool though. Like the we can talk about this. The automatic reference counting. Have you heard about this? The new Objective-C feature.
Mm-mm.
Where it's basically okay. Bit of background. Objective-C by itself is not a memory-managed language. This means that unless you insert these function calls to retain and release all over the shop, your app will basically just eat memory until it runs out.
Mm-hmm.
So with Objective-C 2, which was introduced in Leopard, Apple added garbage collection. But as John Syracuse is fond of pointing out, it's not that popular, mainly because Apple doesn't seem to be using it themselves. And, you know, they don't seem to be eating their own dog food, so developers just say, oh, I'll keep managing memory themselves. And there's also the kind of elitist thing where, oh, I manage memory myself, you use garbage collection. You know, newbie developers would be a little put off by that.
Right.
So what they've done with this automatic reference counting is garbage collection that happens at runtime. So when you launch the app, it's running through and doing the garbage collection while the app is running. But this automatic reference counting, I think, the idea is that it happens at compile time. So it automatically inserts all these retain and release calls everywhere it thinks you need them, so it doesn't run out of memory. Clever. And you don't lose any performance at runtime from this, because it's just like the developer had inserted the retain and release calls themselves.
So how does that make things better?
Well, it mainly makes Objective-C more competitive as a language, and will hopefully stop people saying that, you know, it's outdated and we need a new language for Mac OS X, which will be slow and we take ages to make the transition and, you know, things won't work. And also it also allows memory management on iOS, because iOS is the iPhone and iPad are really too slow to do real-time garbage collection.
I see. Right now they are.
Right now, yeah.
Yeah. But man, the way things are going on that, it's, you know, it's going to catch up here pretty soon.
What's some of the other cool? What's the answer? Developer.apple.
The mail stuff, I don't use mail, so that's not exciting to me.
You don't use mail?
I don't use mail, no. I check my email when I check my email. I check it in
the browser.
Well,
you had an excuse. I didn't know you were in there. Where were you? Minnesota?
I was in Minnesota, and then I went to the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. I took the long way home.
Yeah, that's the very long way home.
The very long way home, yeah. You know, Michigan, I don't know how familiar with you are, but there are two parts of Michigan. There's the Lower Peninsula, which is the glove-looking part, and then there's the Upper Peninsula, which is the sideways-looking part. I always thought it looked like a pterodactyl or some sort of dinosaur or something.
Yeah.
But I had never been up there. You know, I'd lived in Michigan all my life, and I'd never been up to that Upper Peninsula. And it's a very different place. It's very rugged. There's a lot of wilderness. So yeah, I went and saw it and took a bunch of pictures and did some hiking and stuff. A lot of fun. So I was kind of out in the middle of nowhere, and there were parts where I didn't even have phone service. There was no cell phone service where I was at. So
I know.
It's kind of like living in Jackson again. But yeah, so I didn't. David emailed me and asked me if I could do the show last Thursday, a week.
Yeah, we're recording this on Thursday, June 16th.
Right. So you asked me a week ago, you know, whether I was available for Thursday or for recording, and then I got back and I saw your email, but you didn't know that, so you don't have any reason to feel bad for asking or whatever. But I'm bad at checking email anyway, so don't, you know. That's just kind of a symptom of...
So how do you check your email? Do you use Gmail Web App?
Yeah, I use it in the browser.
I'm not a big fan of mail, but I do, you know. I've never seen a web app which I would prefer over a native app, so...
Mm. Though I do take that back. The one reason why I do like Gmail in the browser is because of the threaded conversations. And so,
yeah, you can do that. You can do that in mail.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's view organized by thread, and it's a checkbox menu item.
Hmm. Okay. Well, then that's my fault. But I don't like sitting there saying, you know, you've got three messages.
It's not as good as Gmail's, and I think it'll definitely be. you know, be on par with Line, where they've got this view where you can look at all the things in the conversation at once.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Full screen apps, no interest in those.
Yeah, so going back to, I was going to talk about Safari 5.1, have you got the developer a preview for that?
No.
No. See, I'm not sure if I can talk about this.
Well, is it one of those WebKit nightly releases things, or is this a Safari-specific?
No, it's an actual Safari release. I was using WebKit Nightlies as my main browser before, but this is an actual developer preview of Safari 5.1. So I think I can talk about this because, you know, if anybody wants to find out, then you can just sign up for the Safari Developer Program and it's free.
That is the best justification for breaking your NDA that I've ever heard. Because anybody can pay $99.
Safari Developer Program is free. It's just the Mac and iOS ones that are paid.
Oh, okay. All right.
It's the one you need to sign up if you want to develop a Safari extension, which I've dabbled in. The first thing to say about it is that they advertise that you can do full screen in it. So I thought, oh, that'll be interesting. Just see full screen on Snow Leopard. But it turns out that that's only on Lion. And seeing that Lion is going to ship with this anyway, it doesn't really seem to at that point as advertising this a feature.
Hmm.
Separate from advertising in Lion.
Right.
But the reading list is in there.
Mm-hmm.
The reading list, which Marco Arment has been, you know, a bit concerned about. Well, not concerned about, but...
It's competition in a way.
Variously concerned and unconcerned about it. Well, it's more competition than he ever imagined, because it even does syncing, which he thought Apple would never do, syncing over the air.
Right. Nobody seems to think that they were going to do that.
Yeah, I haven't really used that, but... This is the first release where they're using WebKit 2, which is it's the same rendering engine, but it uses the split process model, as you see in Chrome. So each tab gets its own process in the OS, and it's variously much more stable and far less stable. Things like if you have JavaScript on a page that's going bad, you can just close the tab now and it won't take out the browser, which is good.
Right.
One thing that does seem a little bit slow is changing between tabs, which isn't surprising. I've had times when I've had to wait, you know, about 3 seconds for the tab to switch.
Because it's a whole different process, is that why?
Yeah, but yeah, it's rare that happens.
Hmm.
But overall, it looks like a good feature for the browser.
I like that in Chrome. You know, I work in Windows at work still. And so when you pull up, what is it called? System. The thing in Windows where you can start closing out processes that become out of control.
Oh, I know the ones.
Yeah. You know, when you hit Control-Alt-Delete and the thing that pops up.
Task Manager? I don't know.
Something. Because it happens so often on Windows that I have to delete all the time. No, sorry, I can't remember
the last time I pressed Command Option Escape, but
right, hardly ever. But anyway, you can see the individual Chrome tabs as separate processes, and you can see which websites are taking up, you know, a lot of CPU stuff.
Yeah, and on this, if you get Launch Activity Monitor, it displays them as web as being called web process.
Mm, yeah, same thing.
Yeah.
I guess that's an iOS thing, but tabbed browsing on Safari and iOS, which is kind of weird for the iPhone, but I think it makes more sense for the iPad.
Yeah, the iPad, I don't think it does it on the iPhone. I think you still get the same.
Okay. All right. I feel better then.
Yeah, because I don't think you'd be able to fit multiple tabs, at least not 8 on the small screen.
Right. So in your iPad, you've got the first one?
Yes.
Yeah, and you can update to that to iOS 5.
Yeah. It's all the ones that support all the devices that support the current version of the OS can run iOS 5.
I see. So my my poor little 3G iPhone is...
Yes, you know, mine is still stuck in the...
It'll be crippled.
iOS 4 days.
No. You know, I've had this... I've just struggled over this because when the white iPhone came out, I was like, all right, here's my chance to finally upgrade. And then I thought, well, can I wait till September? You know, can I wait a couple of months? And I finally figured that I can. And I'll just, you know, I'll wait either the new iPhone that comes out this fall, presumably, is so interesting that I'll buy it. Or if I'm not that impressed, I'll actually save $100 by getting a white iPhone 4 and just save some money and be okay with that.
Yeah.
Well, I think about this stuff way too much.
If it's going to be the iPhone 4S, then what can we expect? I mean, the iPhone to the 3G, the iPhone 3G to the 3GS was a slightly faster processor, slightly better camera.
Video, they added video.
Oh, yeah, they added video between those.
Yeah, and the compass, I think.
Yeah, because was the compass in the 3GS or that was the 4?
I think it was 3GS. I think that was one of the big things. The gyroscope was 4. That's when they added.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah. But if it's an incremental update and it looks just like the iPhone 4 and maybe the camera's as good or better, then I'll get the new one.
I can't wait for it to look exactly like the iPhone 4 and this whole antenna gate thing to blow over again.
Right.
Because I have 3 older brothers.
Three older brothers? Really?
Yeah.
I knew you had your sister, but anyway.
Yeah, two sisters also. Mm. One older, one younger. But the middle one of the three in terms of age, he absolutely believes that the iPhone, if you touch it in a certain spot, you'll lose signal. And he's even the fact that he was not able to recreate it on the youngest of the three brothers' iPhone 4. It's not persuaded him otherwise.
He doesn't believe it.
He still believes that you can drop signal on the iPhone 4 by holding it in the wrong place.
Right. Even though he tried it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny. I don't care. After playing with him, I just... And the camera, I think the camera is the most appealing thing about it to
yes.
me.
Yeah.
Just that I don't have to carry around a point and shoot anymore. Like, I was looking at somebody's iPhone 4 on Flickr today, and I just could not believe what a gorgeous shot it was. It was just beautiful. And this is an iPhone 4. It was Ken Fager, I don't know if you follow him on Twitter.
Oh, yeah, I don't follow him, but I know who you're talking about. What's his Twitter name?
I think it's Ken Fager.
You know, the iPad 2 finally knocked the... finally knocked the quick take off the top 5 Apple cameras list on Flickr.
Oh, yeah. The quick take.
Yeah.
That's fabulous. I'm glad that took so long. Yeah, that's great. Look at that picture. And I've been taking a lot of pictures lately. And you, I don't know. Do we have anything else to say about Apple stuff? There's just so much. And people have been talking about it.
Yeah, at length.
Right.
One thing I have been playing with is, have you heard of MacRuby?
I've heard of it, yeah.
Yeah, it's basically, instead of writing Mac apps in Objective-C, you write them in Ruby.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an actual re-implementation of the Ruby language on top of Objective-C. There's no bridge. It's really cool. I think I might make a Mac app if I can.
That would be fun.
Yeah, I don't know what it would do.
You haven't found a use case for it?
No. Well, I made an app to generate random numbers. Based on, the book, which is kind of considered as the book on macOS 10 programming, called Cocoa Programming for macOS 10 by, probably going to say this wrong, Aaron Hillegass.
And is that one of the examples you can do?
Yeah, that's one of the examples in Objective-C, so I did it in, just ported it over to Ruby.
Hmm. It's fascinating.
Yeah, so you were going to say something.
Oh, just if we had anything else about,
I don't think so.
The new Apple stuff.
I don't think so.
It's only through the Mac App Store, so if you know, and it's only $30, so those two things are kind of cool.
Oh, yeah, that is. How are they going to do that? Do you know? Is it going to be like you download the installer and the installer, you download the installer, and then you kind of boot up from
That's
the
a good question, yeah.
Really interesting.
Because it showed it downloading to the dock, you know, the little icon. So
I don't think... Yeah.
So it must be a launcher or something.
Hey, last time we spoke, I seem to remember you hadn't ever bought anything from the Mac App Store. Have you taken the plunge yet?
I bought Flare,
yeah,
the filter photo app from the Icon Factory. When it first came out, they had it for $10, and you know, I love Instagram so much, and I love playing around with photos, so I bought it, and I love it. In fact, I just I had my first paid photography gig. My cousin hired me to do her engagement photos.
Nice.
So I used Flare.
Responsibility.
I know. It's crazy.
Pressure.
She's going to have me do her wedding, too. But
that's,
I dumped
real
some
pressure.
Photos. I know. You've got parents and family and stuff.
Yeah, you're the only one doing the photography?
Yeah, that's me. Just me. Mm-hmm. But I think she's just a little bit behind in planning, and she doesn't have a whole lot of money. So I said, "Well, you give me beer, and I'll do it for free. Don't worry about it." So, and I'll have some nice stuff, you know, to put in my photo gallery and whatever. Mm. But anyway, I dumped some of her photos into Flare and kind of dressed them up. You know, you've got the black and white, and you've got the postcard look and stuff like that, and they're just fabulous. I love that app.
Yeah,
and I am saving up for Aperture. I am gonna make the jump on Aperture and purchase it from the Mac App Store.
I got Mars Edit is the only big thing I've bought
from
the Mac App Store.
That's the blogging.
Yeah, I haven't really got a use for it because I don't use any blog tool that supports it.
Hmm.
But
why the heck did you buy it?
Well, to see if I could write a blog tool that supported it.
Oh. Oh, okay. Well, yeah, for testing and stuff. That makes sense.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, I don't know how this thing is going to go in the Mac App Store. But, I'm you know, as typical, I'm going to wait a while, see how things shake out, and then...
Yeah. Cautious.
You know, sometime in the fall, I'll do the jump. Snow Leopard's been great. I like Snow Leopard.
Yeah.
It's good and stable. Yeah. Heck, I've got Leopard still running on my work laptop. It's still running like a champ. I mean, these last couple of releases are great operating systems.
Yeah.
Although I have a lady at work who still uses Tiger, and that's kind of fun to go back and see that, you know, the brushed metal and all that kind of stuff. Takes you back.
I had something to say, and I've forgotten.
Oh, you got your blog up.
DavidKendall.net.
Yeah, and I love the URL. I love that you've got David Kendall.
Yeah, I wanted DavidKendall.com, but it's a South African window glazing company.
Mm. No kidding. Well, you should write them and ask to buy the domain.
Believe me, I have done. They didn't respond. You know, most people who own domains are pretty. Even if there's nothing to do with them, they
don't
want to.
They're turning down a good opportunity here.
Yeah.
Whatever. But yeah, so you find your and you said that you know, you're gonna have a little bit more fun with this one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe that'll be cool. Man, I should start writing for Newton Poetry a little bit.
Yeah, when was your last post? I haven't seen it in a while.
Holy crap. It was Gosh, it was right before I moved, I think. Yeah. Right before I bought the house and moved.
Google Read has been playing up for me recently.
Who?
Google Read has been playing up for me recently. So sometimes people have posted stuff to their blog and Google Reader just haven't sent me it. So yeah, usually I find out because somebody else linked to something. And
right.
I don't know what's...
Although now I'm finding that I use Tumblr almost as much as Google Reader because a lot of the blogs I follow are already in Tumblr. So
yeah.
You know, they've got that nice stream going. Yeah, my Tumblr blog, I keep that going.
Yeah.
It's pretty active. Lots of fun stuff. But so you've been working on your blogging system, and what do you think? You've got it? Is it finished?
Oh, what the? Well, the.
Will it ever be finished?
Yeah, the frontispiece thing is still on hiatus. I'll probably get back to that in September, around the time I started it again last year.
Hmm.
But this, the new blog, is powered by this static file pooping system.
What's that all about?
Oh,
have you talked about that?
Sorry?
You talked about that?
No, I've just written it in these last couple of days, just kicking about. It's sort of based on files in Dropbox and stuff like that.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, so the entire blog is backed up in Dropbox.
Do you get the pro Dropbox account?
No, not yet. I've got 3 gigabytes of space, which I guess means I've spammed 4 people with referral links.
Hmm.
Because you get 200, do you get 250 megs for each referral?
Oh, really? I didn't know that. So you kind of earn more space instead of paying for it.
Yeah.
That's fun. I'll have to spam some of my friends. Hey, you should totally use this.
Which, use what? Oh, sorry.
Yeah, you're telling somebody.
It's, yeah.
That'd be great. Any, taking any trips lately? Getting out of town?
I'm going this weekend down to London. With a thing called Hacktivate, which I have no idea what it's about, but it sounds fun.
I get it.
And then, this is another thing where I'm not sure I should talk about it, but they haven't sent me any, you know, all they've done is sent me an invitation. They haven't, you know, had me sign anything or say, non-disclosure. So, HP, as part of the launch of the touchpad in the UK, have commissioned this group, Rewired State, who run quite a lot of these events I go to run an event for them. For people to develop touchpad apps. And they'll pay you £600 for going. So I'm not sure.
Oh.
It sounds a bit... I'm not sure. I've said yes provisionally, but I'm not sure if I'll go.
So just by going, you're going to get paid?
Yeah. Well, I think you have to make something. I don't think you just sit there and, you know, laze around all day.
Not like a timeshare deal.
Yeah.
So you're definitely going to do it?
Well, I don't know. I've said yes, but, you know, I might just say no.
£600? What, you know, what could you do with that?
What?
That's like 10 grand American, right?
It's actually, you're only off by a factor of 10, $969.48, apparently.
Right. So $1,000 to write an app.
So you have to actually have an idea for an app and know what to build, and plus you've got to learn all the APIs in the weekend.
But isn't it just is it on their native stuff, or is it with the WebOS where you can use JavaScript?
It's the WebOS. So I don't know, but there are I don't know. You could come
up with something on the train ride.
Yeah, probably.
You can do it.
That was what I was talking about when I posted on Twitter about how HP were offering me £600 to roll in pig crap for a weekend.
I think it's worth it. Bring on the pig crap. Definitely. Well, so they must really be eager to get people started on this kind of stuff, then. This is their way of promoting it.
Mm.
Doesn't Microsoft do that kind of thing where they pay people to write apps and...
No, I think Microsoft asks people to write apps, and then when they have made their apps, they just crush them with their own version of whatever they're
doing. Yeah. Although in fairness, Apple does that from time to time too, where they'll steal an idea that they really like and not pay anybody for it.
Mm.
Like a dashboard that nobody uses.
You think that, oh god, the confabulators thing.
Yeah. I don't know, I pick on dashboards because I find it
still. It's still a controversy on whether they did rip that off.
Right. But it's just worth picking on, so.
Yeah.
See, that's, dashboard was the big thing in Tiger.
I remember they had a massive, it was like the main thing in the campaign for Tiger.
Yep.
Even bigger than Spotlight, which people probably use far more.
Right. Yeah, Spotlight is useful. Dashboard.
I do use Dashboard. Every time you've been asking me to convert a currency during this podcast, I've been hitting F2, typing it in the convert widget.
Oh, you got it. Yeah, I turned mine off. It's not even in my dock anymore. It's gone.
Well, it's not turned off.
Well, actually, I think it is. One of the little maintenance apps I've got lets you kill dashboard.
Oh, right. Is that the secrets prepping thing?
Yeah, that might have been it.
Yeah, the one I told you about.
Yeah, with the cooler dock. That's not 3D.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's what this mission control stuff reminds me of, is dashboard. It's just like another useless feature tacked on top of everything.
Mm.
That's what it reminds me of.
I think it might be useful. It might be more useful to people who use Spaces than anybody else, because it combines.
Who uses that?
Well, all the all the Unix people Linux people who come over to the Mac. Yeah. Admittedly, I think most of those are going in the opposite direction because they're kind of being freaked out by, what they perceive as Apple locking down everything. But,
When I just hear how terrible the implementation is, like it's just not a good.
Well, I've never found Workspaces to be good on any platform. I mean, I tried them on Linux, and it comes down to the difference between apps and Windows.
Yeah. Preference.
Yeah, I'll probably use Spaces if I'll probably use two features which I don't use at all at the moment. If you could have two monitors and have a different space on each monitor, I'd probably use it.
But then really, if you had two monitors, you'd just treat the other monitor like a different space.
Well, but you don't get a menu bar on. You have to choose which is your primary and secondary monitor, and you only get a menu bar on one of them.
Yeah, okay, well, if you could have the menu bar, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I see what you're saying. Yeah, I thought when I heard it, I thought, oh, what a neat idea. I can, hide apps and only work on them in a certain space. And then I've never even used it ever before.
Mm.
So I don't know.
Mm.
We should take a poll on Twitter to see, raise your hand if you use Spaces on Mac OS X.
Mm.
Although I forgot where I heard it the other day, but somebody said, people move from Windows to Mac, but how many Mac people do you hear move back to Windows?
Yeah. That was Melvin.
Yeah. It's amazing. And I might have mentioned this before, but walking around on a college campus and everybody has a Mac. It's crazy. And I saw one today and it still gets me that I still feel that twinge of, oh, neat, another Mac user. And then I realized,
Mac. 20 of them today.
Right, in the lunchroom. But that glowing Apple, it's everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, if you're not using If you're using Windows at one of these TAC events, you're in the minority.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, really, I would put it about 5%.
Or if I see a computer on TV and it's not a Mac, it's kind of weird.
Yeah. That's another thing. The new... Just to link this in to something we've talked about too much lately. We're going to cut all this out because we have talked about it too much lately on this show. But just to link it into Bond, how completely insane is it that James Bond, who has the best of everything, you know, in these new movies, he has to use these totally crappy Sony whatever laptops?
Yeah.
It's a product placement deal.
The BIOS.
Yeah. Because it's
Which,
Sony.
You know, they don't look bad, but...
Yeah.
But it's still a Windows PC.
Mm.
You know, they kind of steal the look and the feel and the design aesthetic of Apple, but... Mm. They still have that, you know, it's like a pretty looking Apple with a rotten core.
Yeah.
You should write that down. That's good.
Yeah.
Are you still doing the Bond thing? Are you still watching?
Yeah. I'm waiting for License to Kill to arrive at the moment.
Mm. Yeah, I'm ahead of the game. I'm watching GoldenEye this weekend, and
License to Kill doesn't arrive tomorrow, I'm going to buy GoldenEye on iTunes and watch that on the train.
Yeah, I got way ahead of the game because I finished watching License to Kill a couple of weeks ago, and have you ever seen it?
I've probably seen some of it a long time ago.
Yeah, rewatching it and reading all the reviews of people, you know, saying it's one of the worst Bond movies ever, it is still probably one of my favorites.
It's just because it's like the thing where I tweeted that, you know, your favorite Bond ever is the first one you saw.
Yep. But looking at it, like the whole philosophy of it, that it's a little bit darker and, you know, it's a little bit harder.
Well, Living Daylights does that, but it's such a better film.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
Have you seen The Living Daylights?
Yeah, I liked it. The one part about that one, though, that was kind of weird was he stuck with the same girl through the whole thing.
Yeah.
You know? It's almost like they were on a big, long date that had guns. It's a very beautiful girl. I mean, yeah, I don't mind looking at her the whole movie.
Yeah, you don't like that then.
I don't know. It was just different. I noticed it. You know, it was different.
Well, there's the CIA girls, he...
Right.
He thinks he's going to join for a party. And then...
Yeah, that was a good one. And the villain in it is the one guy.
Brad Whitaker?
Yeah.
I looked up the actor's name, but I can't remember.
Right. Well, it's been fun. But GoldenEye is the one movie that's not at the college library, so I wasn't able to get it for free. But I did get Tomorrow Never Dies there, so...
Because that's another one that's not on iTunes. I now have all the remaining ones that aren't on iTunes, apart from License to Kill, I now have on DVD.
That's weird that they don't have Tomorrow... Do they have, like, The World Is Not Enough, or...
Yeah, they have The World Is Not Enough and Die Another Day.
But not Tomorrow Never Dies.
Not Tomorrow Never Dies. It's weird. Yeah. How do they make these selections of...
Right.
And how do they choose which one's going to be available in HD and which ones you can rent in HD and which ones you can buy and...
Especially with such a well-known series, you know, I can see it if it's an independent film or something like that.
Yeah.
But not a major motion picture like this.
You see, did you catch the talk show today?
No, not yet.
No. Well, they didn't mention the theme tune in The Living Daylights. What did you think of it? I kind of liked it.
I did too. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's far better than The View to a Kill.
That was the Duran Duran one?
Yeah, I just thought that was stupid.
Yeah, I didn't mind it. There were worse ones.
Yeah. Like The Man with the Golden Gun.
See, I skipped that movie altogether.
You won't regret it.
Right.
Anyway.
That one and Moonraker I didn't watch.
Yeah, you won't regret either of those.
Right. Just didn't even bother.
I'm looking forward
to GoldenEye. You know, it's a good restart. It's interesting that it took them so long between License to Kill.
Yeah, because there was, like, financial problems and then, you know, Timothy Dalton just got fed up with them messing him around, saying, okay, we're going to do a new movie. No, we're not. We've still got problems.
Yeah.
So he left, and they had to recast Pierce Brosnan. You know, people say Timothy Dalton should never have been Bond because they were going to cast Pierce Brosnan, but he was busy with Remington Steele.
Yep. Yeah, I saw that.
But then I disagree with that because he was going to replace... He was going to replace Sean Connery instead of Roger Moore?
Timothy Dalton?
Yeah.
Yeah, but he was too young. He felt he was too young. Yeah, I read that.
So
we've been on Wikipedia, folks.
Yeah, we've both been on the same Wikipedia page.
Yeah, we've been reading. But I remember when GoldenEye came out. I remember that it was the restarting of the Bond series, and I remember the villain Famke Janssen or whatever. She can kill people with her legs. I thought that was pretty hot. But I remember when that came out, and then the video game that came out for it was so successful, and so
yeah, they remade that for the Wii, haven't they?
Yeah, yeah.
I haven't got that.
It was a big
deal. We're getting into the stretch now of films, are we, when we're coming out? Although I didn't go and see any of them in the cinema.
Yes, yeah,
I've never seen a Bond film in the cinema, in fact.
Is that right? No. Yeah. I've seen everyone since GoldenEye. GoldenEye on, I've seen everyone in the theater. And loved it. The only one I can't make up my mind, and I'm just going to have to see it again, is the latest one, The Quantum of Solace. I just have to watch
it. I think it's a good film, but it just falls a little flat in the second half. Not that it becomes bad, but it just gets a little, you know, boring.
Right.
And interesting.
And Casino Royale, I loved.
It's just, you know, compared to the non-stop, you know, interest in Casino Royale, it just kind of, you know, ends not.
It's one of those movies in America you can buy for $5 in any store. You can buy Casino Royale. No, Casino Royale. Oh, you can walk into any store in America and buy it for $5.
Mm.
I don't know why that is.
So popular.
Yeah. Maybe. Or they made so many of them.
So.
But if I ever see Quantum of Solace for $5, I'm just going to buy it.
Yeah.
I'm confident. And the new one's coming out next year, is it? Or it's filming next year?
Yeah, for the something anniversary, 50th?
Yeah.
I hope it's a good one. I think it will be a good one. They've got Sam Mendes.
I hope so.
Which is the film Sam Mendes did? IMDb.
What Mac are you typing this on?
Mac Mini.
Okay. Is that the one Thomas sent you?
Yeah, yes, it is.
Yeah. I saw the Power
Revolutionary Road and Road to Perdition.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And Cabaret, the TV movie. Sam Mendes.
Road to Perdition was good.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one, but I know it was good. I've seen Revolutionary Road.
Yeah. What did you think of that one?
I thought it was, good.
Hmm. Very sad. It's a very sad movie.
Yeah, it certainly is.
Revolutionary Road was the one where, you know, Tom Hanks had always been kind of a good guy, and he was kind of the anti-hero in that one, where he was a gangster and he had a mustache. And
have you ever visited Spinal Tap? This is Spinal Tap on IMDb.
Mm-hmm. Never even seen the movie.
Well, just visit this IMDb page and look at the rating.
Is it 100%?
No, I'll send you the link. Oh, crap.
I like how we're browsing the internet while we're on the podcast.
Very professional.
Mm-hmm. I sent you a link of Ken Fager's iPhone photo. I think, you know, we should put that in the show notes.
I'm not seeing this.
8 out of 11?
Yeah.
Is that the funny part?
Goes to 11.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah. It's one of those, you know, it's one of the movies that's quoted the most. I mean, everybody has a quote from Spinal Tap, and I still haven't seen them.
And,
it's like the Monty Python stuff.
Yeah. Oh, what's going on here?
Everybody has a quote from Monty Python.
Yeah. I like the photo on the lead page of my blog.
What's that?
Do you like the photo on the lead page of the davidkendall.net?
I don't think I saw a photo.
No. Big photo at the top.
Is that Kubrick?
Yeah,
yeah, that's cool.
Kubrick directing 2001. Good shot. There's a bunch of them if you click more promotional photos. I think that was the best. And a lot of them are quite low quality. That one's pretty good.
That's another movie I'm going to have to buy, is 2001.
Wait, you've never seen it?
Watch it maybe once a year just to...
Oh, you have seen it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, lots of times.
Yeah.
And the first half is my favorite. It's the second half that I'm not so interested in, but... Especially when they're doing the introduction to the space station and they're kind of just walking around and showing, you know, how things operate and stuff like that. That's what I like.
You know, Kubrick would argue that, you know, most of the message is in the first, the first bit and the last bit.
Yep. I'm sure that's right.
That's all it.
But just the look and the feel of that middle section. It's very pretty. And I haven't watched a lot of movies. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, you've been busy.
Yeah.
New house, new job.
Yeah. That's why, you know, I thought about hobbies and how you spend your time, you know, when you have free time. And in my new job, I'm working quite a bit more. I mean, I love it. I do love it a lot, but I'm just spending more time at work. But then I get home. And, you know, being a homeowner, you've got a never-ending to-do list. You know, tonight I got to mow the lawn, and I still have to work out, and you know. And then I thought about, because I was talking with somebody at work today about my Mac collection, and I showed the lady some pictures, and I was like, "Oh man, I used to have all these great Macs and tinker around with them and stuff." And then my heart broke because I haven't had time to do any of that stuff lately.
Crying shame.
You know, I haven't even turned on a Newton in Christ months. I do kick on the PowerMac G3 once in a while because my budgeting software is still on there, and I still have not found a modern finance app for the Mac that I like.
Yeah,
and I tried out a bunch of them, and I just don't like any of them.
I know
they think Mac users are a bunch of hippies, but we still have budgets.
I just had to, just have to do it, then I'd probably just make it up in numbers.
Right. That's what you should do for your Mac Ruby app, is a comprehensive finance app. that converts pounds to dollars the way I convert pounds to dollars.
Wouldn't
that be a great app? I think
secret hidden Dave Lawrence mode.
Right. it's a little button you push and it's my picture. And then
all the conversions go.
And then it's correct.
Yeah.
And it's accurate. I think that's great. I'm full of ideas, dude. You just have your pen and paper ready, you know.
So why are the Beatles not in this list of your top brands ranked by hard drive space?
Oh yeah. I have no idea.
The Rolling Stones are there.
Yeah, the Rolling Stones are there. I think it's just because I have the one album where it's all their number one hits, and then I've got some other of their songs sprinkled through, but I don't have actual Beatles albums in there.
Yeah, I didn't have any until they came onto iTunes, and I did realize just how little of the full library I had. Like, I had most of Revolver and some of Sgt. Pepper, and almost none of Abbey Road.
Hmm.
And Most of the old stuff I do have, like the early days before Revolver.
Before the drugs. Yeah. I've got other priorities in my music. Like, I want to get, I had Led Zeppelin's second album. Mm-hmm. But then it got stolen when I was in college, and I've never replaced it. So that's the missing part of my Led Zeppelin collection is that second album, which, you know, is their best.
Yeah, so I've been slowly buying the actual Beatles albums.
Mm. On iTunes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe that's how I'll do it. Well, you know, I don't know. I like to have the CD, so maybe I'll just buy the CD when I find them.
This iTunes Match is ideal for you, then.
Yeah?
You get all the benefits of both iTunes and CDs.
Mm-hmm. Just carry it around wherever I go.
Yeah.
And the thing where you pay $24 or whatever a year.
Yeah, that's the iTunes Match.
Match, yeah. Boy, that seems like a good deal.
Yeah.
And you mean 25, you know, that's what I think, pay for my Flickr account every year.
Yeah, people have been speculating that, you know, once you stop paying for this service, that you'll lose all your stuff. But I don't think you will, because it's all, you know, they give you the actual iTunes files, which are un-DRM'd and all that.
Right.
Subscription music services, which depend on DRM to keep everybody tied down.
Those are like phantom files.
Yeah.
They could disappear anytime. I think it's a good deal. Mm. And just the security of knowing all my stuff is backed up somewhere, you know?
Yeah. And they upload, if you have any, you know, esoteric stuff, you know, they upload that.
Yeah. And I wonder about all the music people have that they haven't organized. Like, if they have the band name and the song name in the same, you know, same line in the database, does that get kicked as a weird one, and then so that's uploaded,
I'm not sure. I guess the best people to ask would be if anybody used the La La service, which Apple bought, because this is apparently based on that.
Right. You'd hope they wouldn't just go by name, because instead of the Beatles, if you just put Beatles, you know, does that recognize
before, it? Before they, you know, got their act together and started ignoring articles like the and ah.
Right. Like that. Boy, that bugs me when people don't organize their iTunes.
Yeah.
Like, you'll find a shared iTunes library on an open network or something, and you'll be scrolling through to see what they have, and it's like, gee, how do you find stuff?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I'm too left-brained for that, but it just drives me crazy. How big's your iTunes library? Let's compare.
Oh, it's way smaller than yours. I think we did this before. Music, iTunes.
No, but I've added things. I want to...
Well, I've hardly added anything, so calculating size. The iTunes folder in my music folder is 37.03 gigabytes on disk.
But that includes everything. That includes apps and...
Yeah, do you just want music?
Yeah, open up iTunes and look at the bottom.
Oh, at the bottom. 145... No, wait a minute. Oh, I had something selected. It was 145 megabytes. 4.05 gigabytes.
4.05?
Yep.
That's incredible. And how long would all your songs play end to end?
1.5 days.
Oh my gosh! So 36 hours?
Yeah.
Man. Should I tell you mine?
If you wish.
End to end. Mine would run for 23 straight days.
Wow.
And it comprises 34.43 gigabytes.
Mm.
Now, see, on my old Mac, that was half of my hard drive.
Mm.
Which is one of the reasons why I'm so glad to get the iMac. Now, I bet my photo folder is just as big, if not bigger.
Oh, let's see. Pictures, iPhoto.
Oh, you've got a siren going past. I heard that.
My iPhoto library is 3.5 gigabytes.
Mine's 54. So I take pictures.
Well, I do have a bunch of stuff that's not in iPhoto as well.
If I just my iPhoto library.
Yeah, if I just size that up.
Man, I didn't. I wonder when that happened. When my photos took up more space. Than
yeah, I've got 12 gigabytes of stuff that's not in iPhoto. That's old stuff from, you know, going back to about 1930s of old family photos.
Oh, really? You archive all that stuff?
Yeah, Dad, you know, dutifully scanned in all the photos he could find of the family a while ago.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot of work and time.
It does. I think it took him about 6 months. I'm not kidding.
No, I believe you. But that's an effort. I mean, that's dedication right there. That's amazing. Well, so now that we've compared our folder sizes.
What are application folder?
Oh, yeah, let's look at that. At home, you can do this as well. It's kind of fun.
Let's do this by item. I've got 76 items in my applications folder.
I've got 127.
Yeah, I don't use that many apps at all.
I don't either, and I went through this the other day that I need to clean some of these out.
Yeah.
But I know because I have the Adobe suite, my application folder is going to be huge.
You get all the crap. Like if it. Basically, my entire work can be summed up by the Finder, Safari, Transmit, VB Edit, and Terminal.
Mm-hmm. Yep. See, mine's the browser, iPhoto, Photoshop, sometimes Illustrator.
Yeah.
And Text Wrangler.
Mm.
10.16 gigabytes. That's how big my applications folder is. And this is why I had to upgrade my Mac, because I needed the space.
All this stuff.
Yeah. But still, I mean, I've taken up half of my hard drive space, and I've got a 500 gigabyte hard drive. I've taken up just about half of it. So I feel like, I mean, this is going to last me forever.
Yeah.
But we'll see how many photos I take. And
yeah, this I've got 64 gigabytes left of 320, I think, I have in here.
Mm.
Yeah, Macintosh HD, 320 gigabytes. I haven't named the hard drive on this one. Still Macintosh HD.
Oh. All right, sir, anything else? Are we actually going to get the show up on the
Internet? I think so.
That's good. It's good to know. We're not talking, just... I don't mind talking to you, David, but...
Hmm.
I got nothing. I'm good. I have to go work out now.
Yeah. And mow the lawn.
Yeah. The rain finally stopped here. It's been a weird spring. How's the weather been over there?
It has been kind of weird. We've had, you know, kind of weeks where it's been nice and sunny, and then a week where it's rainy, and then a week where it's sometimes sunny, sometimes rainy. We didn't get many. We had a pretty good April. We didn't have April showers at all this year.
Right, but then May hit, and it was like was like April.
Making up for the.
Right. Yeah, it was the same here. It's really weird.
You see, one thing before we go, I've criticized your taste on this show twice now. In License to Kill and Not Enough Beatles.
Not enough Beatles, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you can never have enough.
You need to, you know, hit me where it hurts.
Man, is your hair still pretty long?
It is.
Yeah, see, there you go.
Okay.
You're a hippie, you need to cut your hair.
Yeah. Well, I'm a Mac user. I am a hippie. Right. You could also hit me on the horrible background color on the new block.
You know, I like it. I was going to compliment you on that.
All right.
I think it's fun.
Well, it'll look all right by June 20th.
Why June 20th?
Well, because of this system where the background color changes based on the time of year.
Oh.
So
does it switch to summer then? Is that the deal?
Well, it fades. It's sort of like a gradient. So.
Oh Jesus! This sounds complicated.
I sent you the link for the calculations for a number of years. So from about the end of May to late June, you end up with some pretty horrible colours as we go from spring to summer. And likewise for most of February as we go from winter to spring.
November as well.
November?
It goes from like red to
blue. Yeah, I tried to end up purple.
But it's not purple, it's like puke. It's horrible.
I've never seen puke look like that.
Well, you haven't, yeah. Huh, that's interesting.
Mm.
That's kind of fun, actually, that, you know, every
yeah, I wish I could see go. I wish I could see it, say the idea was mine, but if you go to si10.seaninman.com, he had the idea first.
Okay. If you scroll through this gradient really fast, it's kind of like watching 2001.
Yeah. Stargate or whatever it is.
If I was to be filming my face right now, it would look just like his face in the spaceship. Man, I'm going to do that. I'm going to wait till tonight when it's all dark, and then I'm going to do that just for you.
Looking forward to it.
Oh, I bet. I can't wait. All right, sir.
All right.
That'll be it then.
Yep, an hour and eight.
This has been season 2, episode 2.
Officially episode 2.
Officially deny, episode 2.
We deny existence of any other previous episode 2.
Right. It's in another universe. So until next time, I'm Dave Lawrence.
I'm David Kendall.
We'll see you next time.
Yeah, you can find me. Where can you find me? I guess just go to dpkdog.uk.
If you can't over spell the moon.
If you can't
yeah,
spell,
I saw it forwarded.
Yeah, if you can't spell David Kendall, go to dpk.org.uk.
Right. And I'm around somewhere.
Yeah, zen-y.com.
Just add an A to my name and you'll find me everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
Everywhere.
All right, David.
All right, see you.
See you in trouble.